3/4 of Americans are concerned about natural disasters or serious accidents affecting their communities, but 41% say they're not prepared. We're hoping we can help you get organized in case of emergency when we talk to professional organizer Heather K. Powers.
Welcome to Cocktails in Containers, your source for organizing strategies perfectly paired with a cocktail. And now, here's your host, who believes if life hands you lemons, you should reach for the vodka or tequila, Christy Lingo.
Hello and welcome back to Cocktails and Containers. September is National Preparedness Month here in the U.S., and today we are going to get you and your family on the path to organizing in case there is an emergency. So often, we don't think about these things until it's too late, and there are some definite plans that you can put in place fairly easily that will go a long way in keeping your family safe and recover quicker if you were to experience an emergency. Our guest, Heather K. Powers of Creatively Organized Spaces, not only teaches classes on organizing in case of emergency, but as a resident of Charleston, South Carolina, she has witnessed firsthand the devastating effects of flooding and other natural disasters. Heather and I actually recorded this episode back in August before Hurricane Dorian hit the southeastern United States, but I hope that just emphasizes the need to start implementing some of the steps that we are discussing today. And before we jump into today's discussion, I want to take a minute to introduce myself and welcome anyone that's new to Cocktails and Containers. My name is Christy Lingo, and I'm a professional organizing, online productivity coaching mom of two with over a decade experience helping families, just like yours, to organize and simplify your family life. I truly believe that when you take the time to organize and simplify your home and family, you will have more time to do what you love with who you love, which is why we all had families in the first place, right? We don't want to spend all our time picking up toys and putting away laundry. I know I don't. For even more ideas and tips on organizing in case of emergency, I created a playlist of YouTube videos that I created a couple years back on just this topic. I discuss what paperwork you need to protect, how to create an emergency car kit, how to talk to your family about making an emergency exit, and more. To find this playlist, you can visit my show notes, which are available at podcast.simplesolutionsorganizing.com. You can also find past episodes and today's cocktail recipe there. And now, please welcome Heather K. Powers to discuss organizing in case of emergency. All right, Heather Powers, thank you so much for being with me on Cocktails and Containers today to talk all about getting organized in case of emergencies.
Thank you, Chrissy. I'm excited to be here with you.
Heather and I use air quotes here, met through the Simply Be Organized partner group. We're both professional organizers, and Heather has been doing some classes about getting organized in case of an emergency in your area. And since September is National Preparedness Month, I figured she was the perfect expert to come on and talk to us about that today. And one of my favorite things that came up when Heather and I were sort of emailing back and forth about this episode was she said, and I quote, "When it comes to cocktails and emergencies, I think it's best to be prepared and stock up." So I think on both the cocktail and the container part for this, we are going to make sure that we are completely covered.
That's right. You can't be too prepared.
That is absolutely 100%, whether it is vodka or candles, right?
Yes.
So Heather has suggested for us today one of her favorite cocktails, and I'm going to call this Heather's Hibiscus Cooler. How does that sound to you? Because this is sort of something you made up, right?
I just picked up the idea, and I like to make spritzers, and so I'm one of those cooks who just improvises a lot. I don't use a lot of recipes.
Well, I love this. It's a really great sort of transitional drink, you know, as we're going from the warmer weather into a little bit cooler weather. There's a nice sort of like floral quality to it, but it's also got a little bit of those warm notes for fall, and it's really great. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about how we're going to put this hibiscus cooler together. What I did was brewed a strong cup of hibiscus tea. Now, Heather said that you can pick up a hibiscus juice, which, who did you say the manufacturers were that made the actual juice?
Actually, you were right on. There's a bunch of different teas that are out there, and you can either get straight up hibiscus blossoms, which is what the tea is made from, or you can get a blend. And it sounds like you were able to find a blend, and there's a lot of really great herbal tea blends that include hibiscus, which is kind of citrusy. It has a kind of citrus flavor.
It does. It totally does have a little bit. And the one that I got was at Trader Joe's, and you're right. It's definitely has a citrusy flavor. And then this one also has a little bit of lemongrass and a little bit of orange peel in it. So it's definitely sort of highlighting those citrus flavors. So what I did was I brewed a real strong cup. I did 2 tea bags in just like a small teacup to make sure that I got plenty of flavor in there. And then once that was cooled, I took 3 ounces of the tea, 1 ounce of simple syrup, and 2 ounces of vodka. And I used a mandarin vodka because, again, I loved sort of the citrus notes that were in the tea, and I wanted to kind of highlight that a little bit. I shook that all in a shaker with some ice and then strained it out over fresh ice into a glass, and then topped the whole thing off with lemon lime sparkling water, which you could use any sort of sparkling water that you want. I just, again, wanted to sort of highlight those citrus notes. And Heather had said, when she sent me the recipe, that she really likes to use the citrus sparkling water too. And let me tell you guys, it is so refreshing.
That is why I love it in the summer. But I think you could actually make a winter version of this without the sparkling water and have it be more like a hot mulled toddy kind of drink. So just be...
Oh, that's a fantastic idea. So if you've got the tea, make... Right. Make the iced tea now and then leave out the sparkling water and just make it with the warm tea. That's a fantastic idea. Double the recipe. I love it. Genius. So of course, if you want to pick up this recipe for Heather's hibiscus cooler or any of the cocktails that we serve here on Cocktails and Containers, you can go to the show notes, which are at podcast.simplesolutionsorganizing.com. And now we're going to roll into why I brought Heather and some of her expertise, which is organizing for emergencies. But I do want to learn a little more about you. So tell me a little bit about yourself, your business, and kind of what inspired you to start giving these classes to teach people about organizing for emergencies.
Well, I have a design background. And so I spent many years designing textiles and carpets. And I left that industry in 2010 and thought that I was going to start an interior design type of consulting business. And then I found out about the Trade Organization for Professional Organizers, which is the acronym is NAPO. And I found our local chapter and I met other organizers and I realized that that was what I wanted to do because I care deeply about how things look, but also how they function. And so that, you know, that sent me on this path of starting my own business. And I was at that time in the DC metro area. I've since moved to Charleston, South Carolina. And I have been here running my organizing business for about 7 years. My primary clientele is residential, but I also do some small business organizing. And what led me into getting involved with emergency preparation in particular is firsthand knowledge. And unfortunately, clients who have had to go through the process of insurance claims after an emergency. And that really got me thinking about the clients that I work with and who, you know, who I can help being prepared beforehand rather than coming in after the fact, because oftentimes after the fact, there's, you know, things go missing, things get dirty, things get broken. And so, you know, it's better to be prepared. And so over the last few years, I've both worked with clients one-on-one, and then I've also started offering webinars and I do virtual organizing. So this is something that people can take kind of ownership of and do to certain degrees DIY. Over the last 5 years, I've seen a lot of new great technology new apps out there, both from insurance companies and private companies that want to help people be more prepared. I think we all realize that we're living in a time when, you know, there are more climate crises and we need to be prepared and we need to think about what that means to us. And it's different for each of us. So that's how I got into this.
Yeah. And I totally agree with you that so often you're not thinking about this until it happens. So from my personal experience, like I have even, like you, taught classes about getting organized for emergencies. And, you know, I didn't even have a kit in my house. And then the tornado hit in Dayton earlier this year over Memorial Day. And it really was sort of that trigger for me to think, oh, I really need to be on top of this, because that happened 90 miles away and you could see the path that it had taken through the city. And there were people without power for days. And so, you know, you had talked a little bit about how there was flooding in your area. And a lot of times we just aren't thinking about these things that could really make or break our success in dealing with natural disasters or power outages or anything like that, if we have a plan in place ahead of time. So, you know, with any project that you start to organize, whether it's a closet or sort of getting your family ready for an emergency, it's good to start with a plan. So what should we be thinking about as we create an emergency plan for our family?
So I think that the first thing to think about is what are the types of emergencies that are most prevalent in the area. It could be geographic emergencies. They may also be the kinds of emergencies that could happen to any of us, which would be fire, you know, robbery or theft. So there's, think about what applies to you and your family. What is the context of emergency in your life? And how do you kind of define that? And then you need to be looking to your municipalities for the resources that they provide. So I think those are the first two steps in understanding what is an emergency for you where you live. How does your municipality define those emergencies, and what are they providing as well, you know, in terms of resources and communication? Oftentimes you'll find that they have tons of, you know, lists, supply lists, and evacuation routes. A lot of that is going to be provided by your municipality. And so those, I think, are the first things to think of. Is your, you know, your safety is the most important thing when it comes to an emergency. When you go deeper into it, you start thinking about things that, you know, protecting your home. But first and foremost should be you, your family, and your pets, if you have pets, and anybody else in the community that's around you that you care about. Because oftentimes we have, you know, talk to your neighbors, find out what their plan is, because we often have to rely on our community when it comes to recovering from a disaster. People you never talked to before will become your best friend. So keep that in mind.
I think that that's a really great tip, you know, like know your resources, know your neighbors, know what is available to you. And I remember I did take a Red Cross class, an emergency class, and they had said one of the easiest things that you could do, especially if you're like me and you have small children at home, is to figure out where you would meet if there's a fire.
Yeah.
Like it's something you can do tonight at dinner,
right?
You know, and you say, if we're all going outside, we're going to meet at the pole across the street, two doors down, and just make sure that your family and everybody that's at your house knows. Or for instance, like for us, the cat and the dog sleep in our room. So we know that we're responsible for getting the cat and the dog out of the house. But it's something that's so easy that you will kick yourself for not thinking about or talking it over with your kids, even your small kids or, you know, your older kids or whatever, if you didn't get around to doing it. And then you find yourself in the middle of the night, you know, needing to get out of your house quickly and wanting to make sure that everybody is safe. So that's just a tip that I had picked up along the way that I probably need to refresh with my 6-year-old, because his memory is about that.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, I have gone into quite a few houses where the families have somewhere, you know, we don't have basements here, but somewhere stored away, they might have the emergency rope ladders that aren't installed. They've never gone through a trial run with their kids if their kids are on second story, you know, in bedrooms on the second floor. So I think in addition to having that plan, talking it through with your family, also practicing it is a you know, so that if something happens, it's not a first time thing, that there, you know, there's going to be fear in that situation, but if you can go through it when you eliminate the fear and just do a run through, I think that can help. One other thing about communication that I want to just point out is this is not necessarily just for emergencies, but while we're talking about it, put your in case of emergency contact in your cell phone. Figure out how to do that on whatever phone you have, and then talk to your family and make sure they know your, you know, evacuation route and a way to get in touch with you in case, you know, cell phone lines are down or anything like that.
Oh, that's
but while we're on the communication.
Such a great reminder. And what I think is really cool about a lot of the phones today is they actually ask you to fill it in when you get your phone. I know that when I upgraded my phone a couple years ago, it actually asked me when I opened my contacts for the first time, who do you want to be your ICE? And it's posted at the top of my phone. So if you don't have that in your phone, one of the best things that I've heard, and I don't know if you've heard the same thing, Heather, but you literally put it in as the name is in case of emergency, or ICE, the initials in case of emergency. And then you make it a favorite. So it sort of pops to the top of the phone so that if somebody has to get into your phone and contact your emergency contact, it's right there and easy to find.
Yes, that is true. I think a lot of times people ignore that prompt, but if whatever your phone is, you know, most modern cell phones, the difference with an actual ICE emergency and putting it in as a contact is that a paramedic or something can actually they don't have to unlock your phone. So they have access to that without using, you know, any kind of passcode or finger or face identification. So that's just one of those technology perks that makes it work really well.
Yes.
So
okay. Use it, people. Make sure that you're...
Okay, I'm getting off my soapbox.
I think it's a great soapbox to be on, and you should preach it more. So... So like I was saying, you know, I just saw Dayton go through this tornado. I do know that there were several people who didn't have power for many, many days. You've talked about people that experienced flooding, probably similar situations where there's not allowed, you can't leave your house. You have to stay in place. You need to make sure that you can eat and communicate and all these sort of things. And I've heard the term shelter in place kit used. So what are some basics that people should pick up for these shelter in place kits in case they need to stay in their homes for extended periods of time?
So I am not going to have all the exact numbers for you here, but this is where your city, municipality, Red Cross, there are a lot of organizations out there that can give you the specifics. But what I'll do is give you some general categories. And I think this is where people get tripped up also, because there are emergencies where you have to evacuate in place, and there are emergencies that you have to evacuate and leave the premises, and what supplies you need for each are going to be a little bit different. And so obviously, if you're evacuating in place, you need to make sure that your structure is sound. So that might mean you need some tarps, you might need some basic tools, you need to be able to know that if you don't have power, that you're going to be okay for a few days in extreme temperatures. So that's going to mean, you know, clothing, blankets, whatever that might mean as far as making sure you stay warm or cool enough, depending on the climate. Clothing ties into that. So, you know, protective clothing, like you don't want to just be walking around in flip-flops and shorts if, you know, there's debris that's been, you know, flying all around and you might step on a nail or something. So make sure you have clothing that's protective. Make sure that you have medication, food, and water for every member of your household. And that's where it's like, you know, there's certain number of gallons of water per day, depending on how many people, whether they're adults or children or pets. So just look those up and make sure you're well stocked up. You can also, you know, there's recipes out there for creating your own clean water by using a little bit of bleach. So you have to pay attention to what the, you know, what your municipalities are telling you as far as, is your water drinkable? Do you have plumbing that's working? Can, you know, so you need to be able to basically camp in your house. What would you need to camp in your house? An emergency radio battery, some sort of backup power so you can charge your cell phone. There's a lot of great, there's some great devices out there that you can like go charge in your car really quickly. And then it gives you a small amount of power for powering up phones or emergency electronics. And then some kind of entertainment for your kids that's not electronic, or for your family. You need lighting. You need to be able to make food for yourself. So you may not be able to rely on having any kind of grill. Do not grill in your house, people. We do not need to harm ourselves from gases in the home. So, you know, canned foods, prepared foods that are easy to open and eat give you a lot of nutritional punch for whatever the size is. You know, people always run out and buy milk and bread. It's like, I guess they're going to eat a lot of peanut butter and jelly and cereal. But what if the refrigerator is out and the milk goes bad? So just think about getting a good amount of food supplies together that are non-perishable, that can last you, I think 4 days is really what they say. I mean, you need to be able to not rely on your municipalities for about 4 days. And after that, you should be able to start getting, you know, being able to move around and start interacting with, I mean, hopefully roads would be cleared and municipalities would be able to get to people as needed. So, yeah, I mean, the categories are shelter, food, water, clothing, and, you know, the technology, I mean, which is not essential, but I'm just saying like radio communication or like a weather radio, and then candles and some way to see each other, and some sort of entertainment, because you could just be sitting there for a while without any electronics.
That is such a good thing, especially if you're like me. My 6 and 8 year old, the power went out for one night, and you would have thought that they were going to like lose their minds because they were bored. And we still had books and games and things like that. So I can't imagine if we were cooped up in like one space in the basement. Something that we have that we use when we're camping, but as you were talking about it, I was like, oh, I should get another one to keep in the house, you know, just in case I can't get to my camping stuff, which is out in our detached garage. We have a lantern that is solar powered or hand crank powered, but it also has an input output. So you can either charge your cell phone off of it, or you can charge it, like you were saying, in your car from the cell phone. And it has a radio and a weather radio on it. So it's got the AM, the FM, and the NOAA weather radio on it. So, and I think we only paid like $20 for it. So if I can find the link to the one that we bought a couple years ago, I'll put that in the show notes too. But it's a really great sort of handy thing.
I mean, there's so many cool new, you know, the hand crank and solar technology is like so much more affordable and accessible and being used in so many new applications that, you know, really when I say technology, that's what I'm talking about. Like, go get yourself some supplies, like a flashlight that doesn't require a million batteries, or when you go to use it, the batteries are dead. So go find yourself some nifty new high tech, you know, ecologically responsible the kinds of tech that will
now
help you out.
Now you're talking my
situation.
Language. You know, I love those eco-conscious things. That's right up my alley. So, it's a little overwhelming though. So like you gave us, it sounded like, okay, it's fine. I start putting my list together, or I do a little research on Pinterest for what should I put in my shelter in place kit, or what do I need to have in my car in case I need to evacuate? And then I start to feel a little like overwhelmed by everything. So do you have any resources that you can share to help us out that might just make it seem slightly less overwhelming?
I have actually a home and car emergency supply list that I would be happy to share. I'll put it up on my website homepage. So if that is something that anybody wants, it will be available for as a download. If that, you know, it's a supply list. There are others out there, but if you're interested in what I've put together, I'd be happy to share that with anybody who goes to my website, and I'm sure you'll have that info.
I absolutely will.
So
that's perfect. And that's exactly it. Cause I think sometimes if you just have it all in one place and it's sort of a checklist or a to-do list type thing, it just sort of like takes the thinking and planning from your end out of it. And, you know, you're dealing with a stressful situation. So I think that if you can make it as easy and calm as possible, then that's great. Love that you've done that for us already. So I will link to Heather's homepage so that you can pick up her list of supplies that you would need. And why don't you, while we're at it, tell us where that homepage is and how anybody can get in contact with you in case they just want to check you out or to hear about any upcoming classes you might have.
Sure. My website is creativelyorganizedspaces.com. I may be scheduling another emergency preparedness webinar in September. So if I end up doing that, that will also be on my website. And if you have any other questions, please feel free to shoot me a message. And I have a lot of blog posts on this and other information available. And I'm sure Christy does as well.
Yes. And I stalked Heather's website a bit. I have read her blog posts. They are super informative. I think that it's a really great place to get some information about these exact things. So be sure to check out Creatively Organized Spaces. And Heather Powers, thank you so much for sharing all of your tips today and also this wonderful hibiscus cocktail.
I'm so glad you like it. And I really have had a great time being here. And I hope people feel a little bit more prepared and less overwhelmed about getting prepared. Anytime is a great time to do this. There's no wrong time. So just get yourself prepared.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Christy.
Thanks, Heather. All righty. Let's do a quick recap of Heather's recommendations to start organizing your family in case of an emergency. Heather recommends thinking about the type of emergencies that would happen in your area. Check with your local municipality to find out what kinds of resources that they provide, such as supply lists or evacuation routes, or what you need to prepare your family for. Think about the things that you can do to protect your family in your home, if you would need to exit your home during an emergency, or if you were to need to evacuate your city during an emergency. Take a little time to follow through on any emergency plans that you make or practice them. Get those emergency ladders installed and practice meeting up at your meeting point. And be sure to follow Heather's advice of making sure your in case of emergency phone number in your phone is up to date. This is how paramedics are going to be able to get in contact with your family if you are unable to make a call yourself. When it comes to creating a shelter-in-place kit, consult those local resources or the Red Cross for exact numbers that you need. I'll also be sure to have a link to lists from the Red Cross, Ready.gov, and Heather's list that she mentioned in those show notes, which are at podcast.simplesolutionsorganizing.com. If you do nothing else after listening to this episode, I want you to either create a plan for exiting your house and meeting up or to talk to your family to make sure that they remember what the plan is when you are at dinner tonight. It really is just those small things that are going to make a huge difference in keeping everyone prepared and safe in case there is some sort of an emergency. Thank you again to Heather for taking the time out to share all of this really important information with us today. And thank you to you for taking the time out to listen. And if you haven't yet subscribed to Cocktails and Containers, I recommend that you do it right now because there are so many great topics that we have on tap for you in the coming weeks. We will be talking about organizing if you have health issues, organizing small spaces, how to get yourself organized for the holidays, having a minimalistmas, and next week I will be chatting with my friends and mompreneurs, Leah and Barb from Route 23 Simple Syrups, all about time management when you are working from home. You won't want to miss this episode or any of the other ones, so hit that subscribe button. And until next week, may all of your things be tidy,
and all of your cocktails strong. Cheers.